Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Clinch Powell, a weekly conversation about the things that matter most in our lives with Stace Cargi and Lindy Turner.
Welcome back to another edition of Dollars and Cents with Clinch Powell. I am Stace Cargi.
And I'm Lindy Turner.
And this is our weekly conversation about all things that matter, our homes, our finances, our families, our future. And today we are talking female entrepreneurship with Ms. Dana Diamond of Diamond Merchant Solutions. And Dana joined us a few weeks back and we had such a cool and interesting conversation about how you came back into the workforce after being a stay-at-home mom. And I think that there's so many people that can relate to that.
Exactly. So we're excited to talk with you a little bit about this, Dana. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, thank you, ladies, so much for having me come out again. I appreciate it. I'll just kind of piggyback on where Stace left off. I was a stay-at-home mom for about 25 years. I have five sons.
Five sons.
Five boys, yeah.
That is a lot of male energy.
It is so a lot of male energy, it was. And for several years, there was six males in the home, and I was the only female. So I found one day, it was kind of funny, probably around the age of 45, I woke up one day and realized I was wearing camouflage, and I thought, wait a minute, something's not right about this. And I realized, I'm a female. I'm a female. And so I started kind of morphing, if you will, at that point in time and realizing I need to feel more feminine and look more feminine, not just as a stay-at-home mom. So long story short, my boys, I homeschooled them, and then they went out and went into public school at high school. So I started going out into the workforce when I was probably about 6 years ago. So the first time.
Wow, the five boys kind of took my breath away. But then when you talked about homeschooling five boys, I've got to get over that just a little bit. I can't even imagine that. But I have to ask this: how close in age are they?
Oh, well, my first one is 27. My second one is 25. So they're about 24 months apart. And then fast forward in 2005, I had twins, June of 2005, June 6th, actually. They came 9 weeks early. So they were preemies. They weighed 4 pounds each. They were at Centennial. So we stayed at Ronald McDonald for quite a while until they got to come home. And lo and behold, we got them home. And guess what? I'm pregnant again.
Wow. Oh, man.
Yeah. So I had another pregnancy 1 year and 2 days after the twins. So I had another boy on June 8th, 2006.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that is, that's amazing. And all that just absolutely makes it even more understandable how it's like, okay, when I'm ready and you were ready to get out and into the world again. First of all, congratulations
yes.
on that.
Thank you.
So talk a little bit about that.
So, yeah, that was really hard. And, you know, people ask, what was it like having three babies? Well, I nursed them, actually. I breastfed them. The twins were in NICU unit, so I had to pump. And I had to stay pumping every 3 hours around the clock. Get up in the middle of the night, set the alarm, pump, store it in the freezer in the NICU unit. And so there came a time when they caught up to that supply. And when I got pregnant with the third one, it was just, do what you got to do, you know? And so the first year, I tell everybody, the first year was a blur. It was all diapers, formulas, nursing, so on and so forth. And I had several friends from my church that had daughters that wanted to hold babies and babysit. So I was very fortunate at the time to have a good church community around me that really came and helped out. And so I was able to get a little bit of sleep. So, it was overwhelming, but I raised them in the back of a hauler in Smith County. They were raised out way in the dead end of a holler. We had a natural spring creek. They had campouts. We just didn't have any neighbors around. And so they grew up out in nature just being boys. So it was a perfect location.
So I got to ask this question because it fascinates me when folks homeschool their children. Because there's a lot of things that I know that I'm capable of, but that is the one thing I could not do. I will tell you straight up. I've been in, you know, college now since the 80s, I don't think I'm ever leaving. But as much as embedded in school that I am, the thought of trying to teach my own children on the daily and have them stick to a schedule, I'm very scheduled and I'm very regimented. So how do you do that? That's just amazing to me.
You know, it's overwhelming. To be honest with you, in the beginning, homeschool has this status myth to it, if you will, that we're all organized and we're at the table and we're, you know, doing all the work that they're doing in the public school. Truth be told, I made myself crazy trying to keep that together, and it got so frustrating, and I was in tears and they were in tears, that I just realized, I looked up the state's requirements. What is the legal state requirement for homeschooling? As it turned out, they only needed to be schooled 4 hours a day, and they needed schooling for 4 hours. So I said, you know, 4 hours, we can find different things to do and learn. And I got a lot of feedback from people like, I couldn't do this. Just like you said, I couldn't do it. But the truth be told, I learned how to utilize the resources around us to teach them with. So you can go to the grocery store and you could teach them math just in the produce department. Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
You could take them to a library and get them a book, a video, or anything nowadays, even back in, you know, in early 2000s. So I utilized a lot of resources, whether they were online resources and they watched some videos that were educational, or whether we were outside in nature on a field trip and we learned about bugs. We just used everything. But the biggest thing that I did was, is I felt so strongly to raise them up in the scriptures. So I actually taught them through the Bible from Genesis to Revelations and Greek and in Hebrew through all subjects, called Student of the Word curriculum. And they really loved that. Uh-huh. So that's one of the things that they really took away, was a solid foundation of their faith, knowing what that word says without it having to be interpreted to them from an outside source. So that is something that I really wanted to have more instilled in my children, if you will.
And with five, you didn't have the hurdle of socialization.
No.
You had that one taken care of, didn't you?
Absolutely. You know, that's another thing that homeschool gets such a stigmatism of, is that homeschoolers are not socialized or whatnot. And I can see it from both perspectives, because we do tend to be in co-ops together, in groups, communities together, so that our children don't really typically socialize with. However, it actually was the opposite. They learned better social skills with the homeschool groups that we were with, because those kids were all in structured homeschools as well.
One of the things that's very cool here in Cumberland County is there is an agreement, so that if your child is homeschooled and in that homeschool curriculum, or if they're in a private school, they actually can play sports.
Yes.
Throughout the Cumberland County school systems, which is very cool. And, you know, people again talk about, well, you know, they didn't get this experience, they didn't get that experience. So I think it's being able to teach your children and have their education be the way that you see it as a parent, which is fantastic, while also providing them with every opportunity that's available.
Agreed. Absolutely. And so that's so true. And the other thing is that they all have different personalities. These are five boys that are not all the same. Even the twins are two polar opposites of each other. So they all had different gifts and talents that they all came in with. And when I started to see what they were naturally bent at, I would get behind them and inspire them in that direction, so that they would actually more engaged. That engaged them even more.
Okay. You're homeschooling.
Right.
You're at home, you're up in the holler, nobody's around. How did you keep your sanity?
Oh, dear Lord. honestly,
that's the real question.
That's the real question. That was the Lord. I mean, I didn't do it perfectly. I had days that I lost my stuff. I was a mom, and I was dealing with a lot. At the time, my husband, unfortunately, he didn't work very much, and he dealt with a disability of his own. So we were very poor. But we gardened, we did canning, I baked fresh bread every day. I just felt a drive that they should have a better upbringing than I did. And so I pretty much did everything I possibly could on a conscious level to make sure they had a complete opposite of what I had growing up.
See, now this is what's amazing to me, and this is what I believe makes you just an awesome female empowered entrepreneur, because you have all of these skills, right? From you're managing your household, you're managing these children, you're managing their education, you're managing, you know, basic needs, finances, all of these things. And I think sometimes employers, when a woman comes back into the workforce after being a stay-at-home mom for a while, it almost gets looked down upon. Oh, well, so what were you doing? You know, like you're sitting around on a couch, you know, eating
bonbons
all day.
Yeah. That's what they think. Yeah. You know, that was really tough. It was a transition to come into the workforce for the first time. And I think I had mentioned this in my previous broadcast with you, is that in high school, I was part of Future Business Leaders of America. That was my passion and drive was to be in the marketplace. And whether that was a salesperson or what, I didn't know. So I kind of dipped my toe in the water while I was a stay-at-home mom. While these babies were in sleep stage, where they took lots of naps, I took advantage of an opportunity to get online and make some passive income doing network marketing with different health and wellness stuff. And my mamaw, who passed away last year at 104 years old, my mamaw was solely responsible for grooming me and honing my communication skills. She would always correct my grammar, always, growing up, which I loved. And I got to where I had the skill of communication, so I became independent and I started doing MLMs online. And so I started to develop skill sets of making connections with people through networking throughout the United States in 2006. And I stayed on that trend as a stay-at-home mom, doing that for about 6 or 7 years. And then to transition into this, as to going into the workforce in the business arena, was really difficult because I didn't have a resume. Like you said, I was a stay-at-home mom for 25 years. So I literally started out just cleaning houses. I cleaned bed and breakfast inns. I worked at a historic bed and breakfast inn in Red Boylan Springs. I cleaned houses. I was an editor for a paper at the Macon Times. When I had to divorce my husband and take over because we were in jeopardy of losing the house that we had just brought the children out of the holler from, where they were all in the same room for the first 7 years of their lives, and we moved to a nice house, and then he loses his job, I said, no, this cannot happen. No, we do not go backwards. So we do whatever we have to move forward. And so I got jobs wherever I had to pay the bills. I filed for divorce, and in 2018, I came into Cookeville as a merchant service credit card processing lady, doing credit card processing for other businesses.
And so as somebody that's coming into the workforce, and you're having these initial interview sessions, and I'm going to kind of loop Lindy in on this as well, because Lindy's, you know, she's our executive director with Clinch Powell, so she does a lot of interviewing. And let me back up what I'm saying. That sounds like that there's not because there's turnover, but I mean, you've interviewed a lot of people through the years and brought them into the organization. So I just want to clarify that. So, from Lindy, from your perspective, if you see someone like a Dana coming into Clinch Powell, what are the things that you're looking for so that you know where they might fit best? I'm putting you on the spot.
You are putting me on the spot. I think I listen for things, and it's never what's on your resume ever that gets you a job, in my opinion. It's the what else can you do, what else do you know, and what have you experienced in all of your life, and how do you, some of the things that you've talked about was how do you face adversity. There's a lot to be said, and there's actually everything to be said in the you don't go backwards. Mm-hmm. You make it work.
Yeah.
You know, you eat the food on the plate that's in front of you.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting you say that, because my father used to make us eat what was on the plate in front of us. And if we didn't eat it that night, it stayed on the dining room table. And that's what we had to have for breakfast. He was not very nice that way. But
yeah, I don't mean it that way.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, not that way. No. But you're right. I had to do what I had to do. I think most moms would, in all honesty. When you are having to survive, not just for yourself, but for your babies, you're going to do whatever you got to do to make it happen. Mm-hmm. And that's where that drive kind of kicked in for me, I guess.
Yeah. So, you know, and all that speaks to work ethic, and commitment and dedication, resourcefulness, mm-hmm. And those are all things that any employer is absolutely, hungry for, mm-hmm. you know? People that have come through Clinch Powell, they haven't always come through a traditional way at all, and we've had more than a few who've had a rough spot, patch in their life or whatever, and so it's not about that.
It's not about what you look like on paper.
Do you want to work?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you want to succeed? Do you want to be part of something? Mm. That you can make a difference with, you know,
yes.
Whatever that is, whether that's for-profit retail, no matter what it is, does it you know, set you alight? You know, I always say this to everybody. You spend most of your life at work if you're in the workforce. So find something you love.
Yeah.
That,
for
you know,
sure.
that gives you joy, because, you know, whether you like it or not, it's a big part of your life's mission.
Agreed. Totally.
And we choose it.
True. That is so true. I love that.
I've often said when I'm in a supervisory role that I would rather have somebody on our team that maybe doesn't have the full skill set, but has an attitude and wants to come in and say, you know, hey, would it be okay if I come in early and shadow you for a little bit?
Yeah.
Would it be, you know, and I was that annoying person, and I would say, because I was annoying. When I started off, and this was in radio a million years ago, radio was a very difficult business for women. In the 80s, the only way you got on radio was if you were the weather bunny,
right,
or the laugh track. That was those were your choices, mm-hmm. you know. And so I was really, really fortunate that I ended up working for a female operations manager, which is extremely rare, especially at that time in this business. So I would literally ask her, what can I do today? Is it okay if I come in? Is it all right if I stay late? What do you need, some coffee? Would it be okay if I put these albums away for you? You know, whatever that it was, I was always looking. What isn't being done? Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that I knew. Okay, so if that's not being done, that means that that person doesn't like doing it. Maybe it's a menial task to them.
Right.
So I'm going to do it. I'm going to be that person. And then maybe down the road, there's going to be an opportunity. So I think that for me, if somebody wants to come to me and say, what can you teach me today? Or would it be okay if, you know, could you maybe walk me through this spreadsheet? Mm-hmm. Or how did you come up with those numbers? That is where my ears perk up. Mm-hmm. Because that tells me that this person wants to advance. They want mm-hmm. to go to the next level. Right. Rather than I'm going to sit here and I'm going to do my job and I'm going to punch out. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, maybe if you're there for a paycheck, have your paycheck. But if you're there for a career and you want to make a career, then you got to be thinking, you know, get dressed for the job you want, not the one you have.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah, agree. Exactly. I mean, and that's the thing. I had to go out and start dressing professionally. The gentleman that I had come into contact with at the time, he said, you know, you've got great communication skills. You should come do what I do. And I shadowed with him. And he did credit card processing. That's how I got into this. And so he helped teach me how to present. And I was fine with talking to the business owners, to the merchants. I didn't have a problem with that. And he kind of used me as that little tool for him, really, to kind of open the door for that. But yeah, I had to start transitioning a lot of things and learn an industry that I had no education on. But just by shadowing him, I learned for a good year. I shadowed with him and learned a lot.
So now you're back in the workforce, mm-hmm. and we're going to flash forward a few years, and you get involved in a couple of different networking groups.
Yeah.
So how did that all happen for you?
Well, that came through the gentleman that taught me the credit card processing. He had a membership to a networking group called BNI in Cookeville, but he didn't feel comfortable getting up in front of a room of business owners and talking. So I was a social butterfly. I'm an extrovert. I love to talk to people. So he said, here, you take the seat. So I got into that chapter about 4 years ago, and I stayed in it for about a year. And it was great. It was wonderful. But I got experience of being in a networking chapter at the time. Fast forward probably about 3 years ago, a year after that, I was asked to lead a networking group. And I did. I started to for probably about 6 months. We had about 5 or 7, I want to say 10 members all together at the time. And we realized that the money that we were paying for our membership wasn't going back into our own community. Plus the fact nonprofits could not join that networking group for free. So we sat aside at the unction of the members to let's start our own thing. And they wanted me to lead it. And I said, okay, what do you want? And we sat down at a table. We decided what we wanted. And we put together a structure of a networking organization that was very simple, very affordable for the masses, and that allowed nonprofits to be able to join, to have a platform to get in front of that they didn't have to pay for. And that's where BNC, Business Network Connection, was birth, was from that about 3-4 years ago. So yeah.
Well, that's absolutely great, and it is a wonderful opportunity, and I know as a nonprofit, one that we are very appreciative of and take advantage of.
Yeah,
a lot.
We love having Clinch Powell in the group and all the inspiration and the encouragement and the hope that you all give to the members that have come in. Like Stace mentioned in our last broadcast, we had people that come into the meeting and while she's there attending, had no idea that they were actually in need of a home and that they qualified.
Right.
So that was wonderful. So yeah. Definitely works out for the nonprofits as well, and Stacey Nash from Habitat for Humanity as well.
Right.
It's helped with them as well. But we wanted to make it non-structured. We didn't want to have the rigidity to have to attend, so there's no mandatory attendance. We just ask that you come as often as you can so we know how to support you. And it's just $25 a month.
Yeah.
And so it's affordable, and it's just mainly to prioritize supporting each other in the community as small business professionals and nonprofits.
Well, it's whether you're a for-profit small business or a nonprofit small business, it is hard to be a business.
Yes, it is. It
is. I'm small or large for that matter, but it is a big old leap of faith, and it strikes me a lot. You're talking about how you're an extrovert, which clearly you are, and, you know, you love to be in front of people, which... You know, Stace is clearly an expert.
She is my kindred sister, totally.
I know. I am not an extrovert. I don't mind being in front of people, but
she's phenomenal.
It's not my jam.
It's not your jam.
But it does take all kinds. So people like you all, like sales, you know, have that gift and talent.
Right.
I am in awe of. Absolutely in awe of.
I think. For me, sales is, sales gets looked at as like a four-letter word. And I know you know what I'm talking about, Dana. You know, people talk about, oh, you're in sales.
Yeah.
Right? Sales is a five-letter word. And it's in a very empowering word. Because when you look at something that you believe in, right? When I'm at BNC and I get my minute to talk about Clinch Powell, it's not about, hey, I'm Stace, I'm with Clinch Powell, and, you know, we help people get homes. It's, I'm with Clinch Powell. We are a nonprofit. We serve the entire state of Tennessee. Yep. We're based in Rutledge. But let me tell you, we're changing lives.
Yes.
And how do we do that? One family at a time, right? If you're coming in and you've got credit issues or you've got financial issues or, you know, maybe you're facing foreclosure, you're feeling the walls close in on you, we can help you. Maybe you've got a 900, like, because it doesn't exist, credit score, and you're ready to buy a house right now. Hey, we can help you too, right? We're here to change lives one family at a time, and no family is the same. That's what I love. Like, I'm all about a puzzle. I'm about a challenge. It's so much easier to, quote unquote, sell when you believe in what you're doing. So for me, I talk about Clinch Powell all the time.
Yeah.
You know, and the number one thing I get is, I'd never heard, you know, we're very new. We're about 3 years in now to really saturating the Upper Cumberland. We've always served it, but we've been super serving now for about the last 3 years. So the buzz, you know, has permeated. And I really appreciate BNC because through the networking organization, we've been able to meet and connect with so many community leaders. Blair Dudley.
Yes.
I call him the unofficial mayor of Cookeville. He's been on this show before. Hip Cookeville.
Yep.
He is probably the most connected person I've ever met. You've got an issue. You've got a problem. You need a solvent. You go to Blair and you say, this is what I'm looking for.
Yep.
And he has that person. Like, boom. He is a human.
He's a connector. He's a connector.
He really
is. He's a natural connector. Yeah.
Phenomenal guy and a great guy.
Yes.
And truly passionate, cares about our community, cares about our people, and lives that every day.
Yeah.
And now to think that Blair's out there when somebody says, hey, I've got this friend and maybe they're having some struggles. He says, here's Stace's number.
Yeah.
Give Stace a call.
Yeah.
You know, Stacey Nash, we talked about Stacey with Habitat for Humanity. You know,
yes.
we kind of work in the same space in a way. She's doing a different thing sort of in Putnam County. Now, she has programs that I don't have and I have programs that she doesn't have.
Right.
We confuse people all the time because we're here, call Stace or call Stacey. And they're like, well, wait, I thought you were, yeah. It's very funny at times. It's like, oh, yeah, you, Stace told you to call. Okay, Stacey told you to call.
that's the beauty of BNC.
Yeah.
It's not about, oh, I'm not going to talk to them because, you know, they build houses and Clinch Powell, so, you know, just doing finance. No, it's not about the competition.
No.
It's about, hey, we want to fill a need, and we are mission-based in what we do at Clinch Powell. We are mission-based, and we fill it in a guttural existence formatics that we want to help and we want to serve our community.
Right.
So if I don't have something in my toolbox, but I know another organization does, I'm not going to sit there and say, no, sorry.
Yeah.
I feel so much better being able to say, I really don't have anything that fits. However,
I know somebody
that might.
Yeah.
And then you've given hope. Right. And then we connect back and forth and we'll talk and she'll say, hey, did you talk to so-and-so? Did you talk to so-and-so? And again, it just feeds and it feeds on a spiral of positivity.
Correct.
And empowerment.
Good point. And it doesn't force. You're not forced. And I think that's the biggest thing. A lot of networking organizations have a cookie cutter structure that you have to adhere to, and you got to pay a lot of money for that. And you feel forced to have to do it. It weighs on business owners that don't have the time. They're trying to grow their business. They don't have time to go to a meeting every single week. But you also bring up a really good point about competing. And we talked about this last time as well. I don't feel my personal self, I'm not here to compete with anybody. I'm just here to rule my own reality.
That's right.
And that's what I try to encourage others to do the same. There is no need for compete. Just rule your own reality. And if your own reality is to be a community-hearted person and you just want to bring people together for the sake of just to bring them together in harmony and connect and support with one another, shouldn't have to really charge for that. There shouldn't have to be a fee, and you shouldn't be forced to have to do it. If you want to participate, you can. If you don't want to, you don't have to.
Exactly. You know, you were talking earlier about like an earlier version of a networking group. I think we got approached by something that sounds really similar mm-hmm. to that, and it was like they wanted you to like promise that you only did business with the other people in the group.
Yes, that is correct. Yeah,
and I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I mean, why would you do that?
Yeah.
Well, I need to back up. I don't know. There may be reasons, but in our world, number one, pretty sure they don't do business everywhere that we do since we're doing this and that all over the state. But I understand the lift each other up, and yet it also seems to me like it'd be very insular.
Exactly. You know,
it's short-sighted.
True. And it ostracizes people. It shuns. So when I was a part of that other organization, when I left it about 6 months ago, I didn't renew my membership at that organization because I have my own here. And I don't get talked to or reached out to at all by any of those people. And that really hurt, you understand, because they called us a family when we're all in there together. It's a family. The word is very fluent, family. But when you're no longer an attendant, you're outside of the family, and it's very much felt.
Well, we got about 2 minutes left, so I want to just kind of give a little moment for you. I know that we are trying to bring BNC here into Cumberland County.
Yeah.
So how does someone reach you, Dana, and join us at the BNC meetings?
Perfect. Thank you so much. So you can reach me at 615-486-1807. That is my personal cell. If you're interested in opening a BNC meeting here in Crossville and you want to have a community of support with other business owners, just reach out to me, businessnetworkconnection.org or 615-486-1807. But you can also find us on Facebook on Business Network Connection or BNC. We have a page and we have a group.
And Miss Lindy, how does one reach Clinch Powell?
You can reach Clinch Powell by going to clinchpowell.net, or you can call us at 865-828-5927, or you can reach Stace directly at
865-274-8598. I had to think for a minute because my brain is just on pause right now. I tell you, I'm like, what is my phone number again? I only say it 17 times a day.
Right.
Ladies, I want to thank you both for joining us today. It inspires me when I am surrounded by awesome, powerful, strong women who are making a difference every day. And both of you do that in spades. So thank you both.
Thank Thank you so much, Stacey. Thank you so much, Lindy. It has been awesome to be here with both you ladies.
And you as well. I'm so happy because I hear about you all the time. I'm so happy to meet you.
So happy to meet you.
For Miss Lindy Turner, for Miss Dana Diamond, I'm Stace Cardi. This is Dollars and Cents on WAEW, and we'll see you next week.
Dollars and Cents with Clinch Powell airs every Sunday beginning at 1:15 right here on WAEW AM.